Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And this is
Jordan,
Jesse, go!
Bicycles, tricycles, ice cream, candy, lollipops, popsicles, licorice sticks, Solomon, Brandy, Raggedy Andy,
Tweedledum,
and Tweedledee,
home free. La 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 la. This week on Jordan, Jesse, Go, we're joined by the hilarious Aaron Gibson for some fun firebombing talk. Let's go! It's a new day. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
A new year is what I should have said after I said it's a new year. Wait. I should have said it's a new day, it's a new year, it's Jordan, Jesse, Go.
When does the millennium start? Is it now?
We are balls deep in the millennium, Jordan.
Well, probably more specifically, the millennium is balls deep in us.
Yeah.
Millennium doesn't get fucked. The millennium fucks you.
You're suggesting that we are getting reamed Big Willie style right now?
I mean,
no wonder I feel so great.
Yeah.
Oh.
Men in Black 3! In theaters this summer.
Oh, it's 2012. It's episode 205 of Jordan, Jesse, Go. We've had over 200 episodes of this kind of just good, clean corn pone humor.
Sure. All of which makes sense.
Is that what corn pone means?
I think corn pone has a negative connotation. Like, if you called someone corn pone, it would imply that they're a rube or, you know, you can, like, trick them with, like, a three-card Monty.
I thought it meant interracial ass-fucking.
Oh, no.
Because we were doing, if that's what it meant, then we were definitely doing corn pone.
That's corn bone.
Okay. Shall we introduce our guest?
Well, I mean, if you have any more questions about interracial ass-fucking, we should clear that up. Yeah, one thing at a time, Jesse. You don't want to confuse the audience. Are we done here at interracial ass-fucking?
This is the bluest first 100 seconds. You know how presidents have of their first 100 days, they have to set an agenda for the first 100 days, and then that's how they're judged for the first 2 years or so of their presidency is how what they've accomplished in those days. We've accomplished so much in the first 100 seconds of this program.
We've talked about interracial ass-fucking. We've closed down Guantanamo. Two things.
Those two main things. And I think we've produced kind of a beautiful tribute to one of our nation's greatest movie stars.
Mm-hmm.
And, frankly, one of our nation's greatest and most enduring hip-hop and rap stars. One the same, of course, Mr.
Right,
Will Smith.
Sure.
Let's introduce our guest.
Yes.
Of course, you knew her for years from her hilarious work on the Current Television Network. Now she is a smash hit podcaster with the delightful podcast Throwin' Shade. Please welcome back to Jordan, Jesse, Go, the hilarious Aaron Gibson. Aaron,
hi, everybody.
Welcome back.
Back by popular demand, right?
I've been...
This was based on request, multiple requests.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I have to say, I feel like I can laugh now because I feel like it would be weird for me to be laughing while you were.
Yeah.
For two reasons.
One, we haven't introduced you.
Right.
And two, we haven't said anything funny.
And three, it would frankly be immoral for you to laugh at the things we said.
But it was hard. I was almost out of breath from holding it.
Oh, good. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Let it out.
I almost died.
Yuck it up, Aaron.
I almost died on this podcast.
I'm out of breath, but that's because I was just doing calisthenics.
That's a modern exercise.
I do calisthenics before every show.
You have some medicine ball work, right?
Well, I do my Chairman Mao exercises.
Do you wear button-down linen pajamas?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. And one of those Red Army hats.
Oh,
and then you spent some time in the reducing machine.
Yeah.
Doing it right.
Yeah.
You know what? Here's something that Mao did a lot of horrible things.
Well, that's up for debate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we can agree that, I think you can make some argument that Mao may have done some good things.
One or two.
But on the whole, he did many, many horrible murders. And but I would like to give it up to him for two things. Number one, for that great calisthenics routine that old Chinese gentlemen and ladies do in the park.
Mm-hmm. Or in Gung Ho.
I had a sword fighting teacher in middle school. I know that sounds weird, but you're just going to have to go with me on it. Who had lived in China for a while and knew the whole routine, because it was the same for the whole country it may have been modernized in the past 10 or 15 years, but he had lived in China in like the early 80s, in the Gung Ho era. And would do it. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of arm twists, and it's a blast. So number one, kudos to Mao for that. Number two, he instituted this national outfit, right? The Mao suit. It's uplifting to the proletariat, certainly. But it was really flattering on Mao, a man who was essentially shaped like a potato.
He figured it out. He's a fashion maverick.
He had it sorted out. He said he had someone who knew about outfits come to his house, and he said, I want something new, and I want something that flatters the potato-like man.
I want something new. I want something mandatory.
Yeah. And then we're just going to kill anybody who doesn't wear it.
Right. And you can't say no to that kind of request.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? He knocked it out of the ballpark. The Mao suit looks tremendous on Mao.
And I think any portly leader.
It looks...
slash monster.
Frankly.
I mean, Kim Jong-il.
Yeah.
And Kim Jong-un.
Sure. Yeah, I haven't seen Kim Jong-un.
What's the difference between Kim Jong-il's style of dress and Kim Jong-un's style of dress? Is there one? It's identical.
It looks similar to me.
Okay.
Kim Jong not much. I heard a weird story. This is probably not true, but a story about Kim Jong-il where he went... One of his solutions to fight hunger in his country was to get this rabbit from Europe and bring it over and have it breed in the countryside, and then that would create food for the
so that's outside
people.
The box thinking.
Yeah,
well, but then he couldn't wait, and he brought back 12 rabbits and he ate them before he could even implement
that's
well,
evil,
you know, they're
this could be like they're a delicious. Tale I didn't Google it, yeah, but yeah. It was a good story.
But, and he didn't even think to himself, hey, just go get 12 more.
No.
It's like, well, that's over.
He does whatever whim he has, he just acts upon it.
Yeah, he did the same thing with Catholics. Initially, he was going to bring in some Catholics, but he ended up killing them and eating them.
Well, they taste delicious.
He had heard that they had large families.
Yeah.
Oh, well, of course.
The Protestant stringy. A Protestant stringy.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Tough meat because of that Protestant work ethic.
Yep. Yep.
All that self-denial makes you tough.
But Catholics' meat is very tender because of all the alcoholism.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And sure. The passion.
Yeah, and the passion.
It's a mixture of booze and passion.
Wow. We've really gotten ourselves deep into this one.
Yeah.
We're really taking some big swings.
Oh, I love it. Well, at dictators who can't hurt us?
Yeah. Well, they're ghosts.
Right. But are we in any danger for insulting them? Like, is there like some sort of...
Like a retroactive...
Retroactive, yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
Can their estate come after us?
Right, yeah. So you're saying, in theory, could Kim Jong-un hear this? And because you told the defamatory rabbit story, send some sort of shock troops out to get us?
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, if he doesn't get to me, the arsonist will.
Oh, yeah. Aaron and I are smack dab in the middle of a, would you call it a rampage?
Yeah, arson rampage.
There's a West Hollywood firebug, Jesse.
No.
I don't know if you knew about this.
I haven't heard about this.
They've also called him a carcinist because he is setting fire primarily to garages.
Carson Daly.
To Carson Daly. and Johnny Carson's tomb.
And Carson from Downton Abbey.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
the butler.
Please don't get me started on that lovely show.
Isn't that a treat?
Yeah, it's a delight.
But back to us being murdered.
Yeah, yeah. There's been these fire bombings in West Hollywood, mm-hmm. a rash of them. I think as of this recording, they haven't caught him or the gang. And also, no one has died. So it's still kind of fun to talk about.
Okay.
When someone dies, we have to stop being so excited / scared.
Right. But Aaron, you, a car next door to you got firebombed, right?
Firebombed, melted the car next to it, and then the whole side of the building is charred.
How many cars?
There's been, I think, 35 fires in all. And there were one or two last night. And then on my way here, I dropped off something at my friend's house in Los Feliz.
Drugs. Yeah.
It was a package, a nondescript package.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. Just an ordinary brown package.
From your butt.
From my butt.
Just an ordinary deflated balloon, filled with anything.
Not filled with anything. It definitely wasn't a cocaine heroin mix.
Sure.
Which is a thing I invented.
We should call Motley Crue and let them know about this thing that you just invented.
Yeah, they're going to love it.
They're going to love this thing.
I don't know if they're on the wagon or off the wagon these days, but...
I think they're off.
I know I'm paraphrasing a Seinfeld issue, but is it what is it definitively? When you're on drugs, are you on the wagon or off the wagon?
Oh.
I don't know.
I think it's off the wagon. Anyway,
yes.
Sorry.
Well, you're certainly full of pith and vinegar today.
Yes, I know, exactly.
It's all the fires. It's got everyone riled up.
Yeah.
But there was one, they were investigating one on Melbourne and Franklin.
Mm.
Wow.
I mean, Melbourne and Hillhurst, those streets are parallel. So
35 cars?
Somewhere around 30 fires. I think most of them have been cars.
That is a lot. Oh, you know what, though? I think I've got, how many of those cars were Chevy Corvairs?
Oh.
Because those things are unsafe at any speed.
Wait, are you saying that Ralph Nader is doing this to prove a point?
I believe he is.
Nader is the carcinist.
Passive safety systems.
Well, what if the arsonist gets blamed for more car fires than he deserves because of the Chevy Corvair?
Oh, yeah.
That's another bummer about that car.
That is, yeah.
Bad time to be a carcinist.
Yeah, it hurts everybody.
Aaron, if you... Okay, and I was kind of looking around, there's kind of a West Hollywood community Twitter feed, and I was looking at this for information. And you know, it talked about, like, if you see someone suspicious, you know, be on the lookout. Do you think if you saw someone who you believe to be the carcinist, you could take him down?
Take him down, no. Not someone armed with a Molotov cocktail.
Yeah.
I would have to start carrying Molotov cocktails.
Well, that's probably the only solution.
So I should start doing that?
In the place of the heroin cocaine balloons, just have a Molotov cocktail in your butt at all times.
Officer, I have an explanation for this. I am trying to defend myself against the carcinist by carrying whatever mode of fire he
carries. Have you ever heard the expression fight fire with fire?
It's a pretty popular one.
Yeah.
I think the West Hollywood has its own police department.
Yes.
And my guess is the response that you would get would be, I'm sorry, ma'am. If you'd told me that you had that in there to stimulate your prostate, I would have believed you.
A lot of gays in West Hollywood. A lot of gays.
A lot of gays.
And the West Hollywood Police Department just completely shuts down around brunch. From around 11 to like 2:30-ish, having brunch.
Yeah, they're frittatas.
Sure, at the mimosa.
Painting with broad strokes this week on Jordan, Jesse, Go. We'll be back in just a second with more. Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morse, boy detective.
Hi, I'm Erin Gibson, sitting in this chair.
She is.
Was that? I didn't have
it's
time
true.
To come up with that.
No,
thing.
No, it's true. Yeah. It is absolutely true.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit here and vouch for it.
It's not a lie.
I'm not standing. That's for sure.
Are you guys genuinely concerned about your safety?
I am, because the building next door to mine was torched. Yeah. But I feel like it's kind of like a shark attack.
Right.
I saw someone get attacked by a shark, so
you
the chances
do
of me
whatever you can to not look like a seal.
Yeah, whatever I can.
Is that what you're describing?
And if you see an arsonist, just punch him in the nose, right on the nose.
Well, unless he comes back to finish the job,
right?
Which is the only reason I could think he would. I think it'd be dumb to come back to that exact area.
Our friend John Richmond of Casper Hauser, the Casper Hauser Skit Club, a sketch comedy group from San Francisco, friends of MaximumFun.org, creators of the Casper Hauser Comedy Podcast. I'm just going to end my descriptions of who Casper Hauser are. Is an open sea swimmer.
Oh.
This is something that he does. I don't know why he does this. It sounds terrible to me. He was attacked. in the San Francisco Bay. He likes to swim in the bay.
By an arsonist.
Yes, by an arsonist.
Was tried to set fire to water.
By a gay police officer. he was attacked by a harbor seal. He was attacked by a seal.
They attack?
They don't attack. That's what makes it so amazing. Here's the thing. Sharks attack. And sharks totally attack people who open sea swim in the San Francisco Bay. It totally happens. Sea lions attack. And they totally attack people who are swimming in the San Francisco Bay. Seals do not attack. And a seal is what attacked John Richmouth, definitely.
Was he provoking it in any way?
Dangling
something in front of it?
That's what, like, apparently John has, I saw a picture, and you don't want to see this picture, but I saw a picture of his injury, and it is grotesque. And
it bit him on the side?
The seal, yes. The seal biologists accused him of provoking it. They said, well, seals don't attack people. You must have provoked it. And he said, well, what could I have done to provoke it? And the best they could come up with is maybe he accidentally kicked it while he was swimming. Like it was swimming and he was swimming and he accidentally kicked it in the head or something.
So, and the seal couldn't be like, hey, dude, I get it. You're swimming.
No, because seals can't talk.
Oh, right. Mm.
I mean, that is ultimately what this is about. It's like, use your words. You know what I mean?
Well, no wonder. Biting him is a little dangerous. I mean, but biting to me, well, I guess they don't have any other way to.
Well, he could have gone on his back and flopped back and forth with his little flippers. Oh, my God. That would have been adorable.
So what? So his injuries were pretty deep, but
his injuries were pretty severe, but he made it back and he's just fine.
Internal
He had to have a bunch of stitches, but he's okay.
So he wasn't damaged on the inside.
He was not damaged on the inside. He was severely bitten. It is gross. Just mega gross.
And it spoils one of the world's cutest animals.
Yeah.
It does. It's one of the world's cutest / most vicious animals.
Yeah, it's like getting attacked by a kitty or a squirrel. Like these things that are just like universally enjoyable. Sure, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Fawn.
Oh, a fawn.
Foal.
Yeah.
Bear cub.
Bear cub. Well,
bear cub. What about a baby koala bear?
That would be awful, too.
Yeah.
Wow. That would be terrible. Mm-hmm. Did you get attacked? But did you really get attacked by a baby koala bear?
No, I wish.
How were you handling it?
I mean, I don't want to get into it.
Was it drawn?
Essentially, I tried to breastfeed it.
Oh, I see. Right.
And I think that it didn't. Right.
That's fair.
It was too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My mothering instinct kind of took over.
Right. I think that's happened to me before.
Were you stimulating its pouch at all?
Oh, I know. I forgot that part.
Oh, yeah. That's what you got to do if you're trying to breastfeed a baby koala.
No, I put on some, I put on some like American classical lullabies.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
Yeah. Some very, what a baby would like, a human baby.
Yeah.
I had a mobile, put a mobile up and...
Sure. Koalas get upset when you treat them too much like a human.
I stenciled its name on the wall.
Mm. Yeah.
In fun letters that looked like it had stitches on it.
Sure. You took a Christmas card picture with you and the koala.
I got an armchair that also rocks.
Makes
a lot
sense.
Of stuff.
Makes sense that it attacked you.
Didn't like
makes
it.
Makes sense.
I invested a lot of money in this scenario, too, so I lost probably about $400,000 in total.
Wow. That's almost $500,000 if I'm counting that correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. No, I got it. Yeah.
Any plans to mother another kind of marsupial?
Oh,
maybe
for sure.
A kangaroo? Okay, good.
I do not give up.
Okay. Are you going another koala or are you going to maybe branch out? Maybe like a wallaby?
Yeah, I think wallaby. You know, a wallaby or a raccoon? I think a raccoon would actually be kind of docile for a baby.
I mean, that's not a marsupial, but.
No, I know, but I got to.
They do clean their own food.
Yes.
Right. Which, fair enough. Hey, how were your holidays, guys?
Mine was nice. I spent it in Orange County, as I do all of my holidays.
I think we all imagine, when we think of the classic American holiday, we think of spending it in Orange County.
Oh, sure.
Just, you go wassailing down at Chili's.
Yep.
Santa's
mittens, board shorts.
Santa comes by in his raised truck with the social distortion sticker. And he delivers gifts of body spray and guns. I don't know. Orange County's not gun toting.
No, it isn't.
But yeah, it was nice. And for
Jordan, body spray and gift cards to the store that only sells things that glow in the dark.
There you go.
Spencer's.
Oh, by the way, I didn't get a single Starbucks card this Christmas, and I didn't get a single random text that said Happy New Year from a number that I didn't have in my phone. Do I need to cultivate more bullshit fair weather friendships?
No,
these seemed like bad signs.
No, I think it's the thing that you have to look at is, why were you putting up with that in the first place?
To Starbucks cards at the end of the year.
Right.
Yeah.
But like a $5 Starbucks card?
Yeah.
It's almost insulting.
Yeah, I can get...
I'm going to buy one coffee and then the next coffee I have to pay for 30 cents.
Pay a little bit of it. Yeah. No, you're right. It's more convenient not to have
What about Jamba cards, though?
I don't believe in Jamba Juice.
You get an orange dream machine.
Believe Jamba Juice exists? You're boycotting it.
I'm boycotting it. Those drinks are not healthy.
No.
Yeah.
No, they're special milkshakes.
They're special milkshakes.
They're fruity milkshakes.
But people go in there thinking they're getting something healthy, and then they drink too much of something that they shouldn't have in the first place.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what it's a house of lies.
I have.
But Jamba tiny pizzas are good for you, though, right?
Tiny pizzas, yeah.
Yeah.
That's moderation.
Sure. Those are gluten free.
But not a big thing. That's how much sugar is in one of those Jamba
You know
juices.
What the sure. problem with America's health is?
Which, yes.
A surfeit of gluten. A gluten surfeit.
Yep.
I had one of those just insanely intense. I'm thinking about, you know how when children are bad in class, they separate them? I'm thinking about separating my families. I have my wife's family, my father's family, and my mother all live within 10 miles of each other.
That's convenient.
No. See, that's what you would think. You would think it was convenient, because here's what's convenient about it. When you go home for the holiday, you can see everyone. But here's the thing.
They made a movie about it, Four Christmases. Nothing went wrong in that movie.
Nope.
It was a zero conflict movie.
When you go home for the holiday, you are obliged to see everyone. You are locked into this like grueling marathon of holiday related events. So essentially this was my Christmas schedule. I worked through Wednesday. On Thursday morning, I got up early to drive my wife and baby from Los Angeles to Marin County. It took 9 hours because babies don't like sitting in cars unless they're asleep. You can't feed a baby in the car that doesn't eat out of the bottle, which our baby doesn't.
Eats out without, of a bowl.
Yeah, he eats out of a bowl. Yeah, exactly. We give him a wet food, dry food mixture.
Oh, good.
It's kind of a hood he wears, right? Like a food hood. Am I
like
describing it right?
It's sort of like one of those.
Yeah, for
it's
a
like
horse?
A feed bag. Okay. Yeah. So you can't take the baby out of the car seat and feed him in the back seat anymore because it's 2011.
You can take the baby out of the car seat, but you can't take the car seat out of the baby. Am I
you.
Right?
Someone has
Am
to
I
say
right?
It.
He's
That's
always
true.
Acting like a fucking car seat.
And so it took 9 hours to drive to Los Angeles. Then we had, then we got to, my wife's family's house at like 6:00. We changed, and headed to the clubhouse. My wife's family living in this condo, and the condo grouping or whatever it is, there's a clubhouse where there's like a pool and there's like a little common room that you can rent out for events. And so they had rented it out for the family Christmas dinner thing. This is 2 days before Christmas. This is the 23rd. This is the 22nd. So on the 22nd, we have this dinner with 20-ish people, which is my wife's father's family. Okay, so that's the 22nd. 23rd, I get part of the day off. I go into the city. I finish up my Christmas shopping. My wife takes care of the baby, hangs out with her family. I come back into town. Night of the 23rd is my wife's mother's Christmas event.
Because they're divorced?
No, each of their families also live in Marin County.
But why couldn't they combine it?
Because they're not the same family. They don't know each other. Only only my wife's parents.
Have you thought about watching Four Christmases? It doesn't sound like you've watched it.
There are.
Because there's a very clear game plan laid out in that movie.
There are.
It's there for the picking.
60 people at my wife's mother's family Christmas dinner. There's like crabs and it is insane. It is a fucking madhouse. And all of them is like a family reunion, but, and it usually has skits. Thankfully, there was no skits this year.
What do you mean? They put on plays?
They put on Christmas plays! These people are, some of them are enthusiastic homosexuals. Some of them are, it's something that started when they were six, and it was cute. Then continued to when they were 12, and it's a very positive family, and no one told them to stop, and it just kept going into basically a musical review. I got into this thing with one of my wife's aunts where there was this...
It's Wicked now, right? Like, yeah. That's what Wicked started out as? How Wicked started.
Yeah. Only all of the musical numbers have been replaced by complex musical parodies of various aunts and uncles.
Mm.
I got into this thing. There was this slideshow that was Grandma and Grandpa's slideshow. This thing is all theoretically a tribute to my wife's grandparents. It's not for my wife's grandparents, really. They like it, though. They're nice people. So there's this slideshow of just pictures that people have sent in of what's happened to them over the year. There's 60 of these people, right? So there's a lot of pictures in this slideshow.
It's a visual letter of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
This is what happened.
What song is playing in the background?
Single
Ladies? It was not...
over and over again.
It was not that Green Day song. I think it was a Stevie Wonder song. But it's about
white
to
people.
Start. It's about to start, right. And they're trying to get everybody to sit down and watch it. And my wife's aunt comes up and says, and I'm like cleaning up. I'm helping clean up. And my wife's aunt says, they're going to start the slideshow. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I'll watch it. I'm cleaning up. And she's like, oh, well, we're all just going to sit down and watch it. And I was like, oh. Like, I thought they were just going to play the slideshow. I had been an advocate of just play the slideshow during the whole event on loop so people can see the pictures.
A background event.
So people can see the pictures. And it's not a performance of any kind. A slideshow is not a performance. So anyway. But I was being nice. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to finish cleaning up here and everything. And she said, my wife's aunt said, they're going to start the slideshow and we are going to respect that.
Ooh, wow. You got faced.
Did you tell her to eat it?
You got dunked on.
I got dunked on big time.
You told her to eat a dick, right?
No.
Oh.
I can't tell these people. They're very nice people.
They're not. That's not nice. That's not, and that's using niceness to get what you want.
But
yeah.
No, that was not nice. I want to be clear. She was not being nice about it. But
did she think you had a big city tood? Did she assume it was coming from some sort of big city tood?
They're all nice. Mm-hmm. They definitely all think I have a big city tood. Mm-hmm. But they mostly find that charming.
Okay.
To their credit,
sure.
They find my big city tood charming. However, I cannot fucking deal with this
shit.
When
you cop said,
I don't blame you.
There are 60 of these people. There are 60 of them.
I don't want to sit through wedding slideshows during a wedding reception.
There are 60 of them.
Of
okay,
the wedding
so,
you just saw.
Awful.
Yeah.
I just don't want to see people. I don't want to see what you look like when you're a kid.
Mm.
So the next day, we have Christmas with my wife's family. This is on Christmas Eve day. We do all the Christmas shit. We get up in the morning. We go open presents. They go for a hike. We went for a hike. All the Christmas shit, right? The Christmas morning, we drive from Marin to San Francisco to my dad's house and do Christmas morning at my dad's house with my dad and my brothers, who are half-brothers, my dad and my stepmother and my half-brothers. Do fucking Christmas morning there. Then we drive to my mom's house and do Christmas with my mom and then Christmas dinner with my mom. This is in 4 fucking days. Fuck Christmas.
No, I don't go home for Christmas. I stay in L.A.
Where's your home?
Texas.
Oh, yeah.
because I do Thanksgiving and then I stay here for Christmas because it's like a college town and it's very quiet and peaceful and you can park places and everyone's nice and relaxed and all the
But you know what? Here's the thing. I just said fuck Christmas, but the other side of this thing is that actually the truth is I love Christmas. I love my family. I love seeing my family. I love my wife's family. I love seeing my wife's family. It's just, I wish that I could do them one at a time.
You can, just, but this, that'll never be an option for you.
I know.
But now that you have...
I gotta separate them.
But you
I gotta
have a
buy
kid.
Them one-way plane tickets.
You do not have to go. You have the best excuse.
No, because now they want. Now they're going to want to come stay at my house.
But then you can have four of them here instead of...
No,
instead
I can't. Where am I going to put them? Do you sleep here on the floor of my office?
Just move some of the taxidermy. You've got a lot of taxidermy. Just, you
can
know,
put a queen size.
Put some of that in the car for a while.
Oh. Anyway, every year it is that.
I don't enjoy Christmas.
Really?
No.
Do you have some sort of like anti-Christmas thing you do while you're staying here, or is it just relaxing?
Oh, when I'm here?
Yeah.
Totally relaxing, pretending it's not Christmas.
Okay.
Christmas is disappointment for me. Because my parents were very poor, but they talked a big game. So it was kind of a mind fuck.
So they're like, oh, somebody's getting a bike this Christmas. And then it's just a piece of paper with the word bike written on it.
Yeah, it was like basically like the worst kind of psychological torture for a kid. And they didn't do it to be malicious, but they didn't understand that. You know, saying that this stuff was going to happen and then knowing they didn't have the resources to make it happen.
But so they would tease presents that never came?
They would make us write a list. We would go through the JCPenney and Sears used to have a huge catalog in the 80s. We would go through and mark everything and give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, wow.
You know, that kind of thing. And then we would get hardly anything that we wanted. And then when my parents did have money to do it, they would give us presents that they wanted us to have, not what we asked for. So one year...
So like a colonic.
Oh, God. It was basically, when I was 16, I asked for a pager, and my mom bought me a clay set and a watercolor set. I don't paint.
To make a pager.
To draw
To make
to draw
your own
pager.
Yeah.
A clay pager.
Yeah.
My dad, my parents were, my mother is an exceptionally good gift giver. She was just exceptionally good at things, at objects.
Yes.
And so even when we were, and we were genuinely pretty poor until I was in high school, until she got her first full-time teaching job when I was about 15. And until then, we were broke as a joke, especially at my dad. Both houses, we were really broke. But she could always get it together because she is a hustler. My dad less so, but I was never hurting for presents. One of the nice things about divorced parents is you do get two Christmases. So between the two, I would always piece together a pretty good haul.
Yeah.
But one year, my dad's big present for me was a scooter, and I had wanted a scooter, like the kind with inflatable wheels, and you know, this is pre like Razor scooter type deal. This is like, and you know, like a grip brake and you know that kind of thing. And I had wanted one just forever, and my dad got me this scooter, and it was seriously the most exciting gift I had ever gotten in my entire life. I mean, I was maybe 8, 9 years old. I still remember how excited I was when I opened that present. I mean, this was in an apartment where we had, for some reason, our apartment had a fireplace. It was an apartment building. It had a fireplace, but the fireplace was literally just covered with plywood. And so I had to explain to my dad that Santa came in through the window. And
your dad was poking holes at the Santa theory.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't think he's real. Look at this fucking fireplace.
Yeah. And
like, Dad, window, come on.
And I opened up that scooter. I just remember just filling with joy. And my dad brought it out. And my dad was a single dad at the time. This was sort of in between when he divorced with my mom and when he got married to my stepmother. And probably
he had this thing like on holidays because he was in AA and he himself was a crazy vet. He would invite his crazy vet friends over. So there was probably a couple of crazy, like semi-homeless recovering alcoholic vets over.
Who all looked like Santa.
Yeah.
In camo.
Right.
A couple of them, they would like live at the house for a couple weeks at a time.
Wait, is your dad a Vietnam vet?
Yeah, yeah.
Mine too.
Yeah.
And also a recovering alcoholic.
Did he...
It kind of is like, it's their thing.
Did he ever like, did he ever like rescue other recovering alcoholic Vietnam vets? Like, did they ever like live at your house?
No, because he didn't, dad? He stopped drinking, but wasn't in any programs.
Oh.
And then relapsed really hard when he, like 3 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And now he does help have like programs and stuff where he goes in and talks and
yeah.
talks about it. But
yeah, my dad still goes to meetings, and it is now 25 years later. But anyway, that point aside, so my dad, I still remember my dad took that scooter up to the kitchen table. And this is so resonant for me because our friend Tyler McNiven, who's been on this show, old friend of ours from college, showed up at my mom's house over Christmas with this fire truck as a gift for my son Simon. And Tyler and I put it together, just sort of sat there and put all the pieces together. It was so fun. My dad took it there, took the scooter and put it on the kitchen table and put it together, like put the wheels on and put some of the pieces on. And anyway, long story short, he lost some of the pieces and he never put it all the way together.
So you couldn't even ride it?
No.
Oh my God.
He just gave up. Halfway through putting it together, he put like one wheel on and lost a couple things and then figured he'd try and get another thing and then just never did.
Did the unfinished scooter stay in the house?
Oh,
it was just as a reminder.
The unfinished scooter was in the house for like 3 years.
Oh, good.
Just on the list of how our parents are actual human beings.
While my dad, and see the other thing about my dad and his craziness, he has this horrible memory, right? So my dad would tell you, A, that the scooter never existed, B, uh-huh. that he finished the scooter, and C, like...
What's a scooter?
What's a scooter? Like, I couldn't even, like, use it to get other stuff from him, because it was sitting in some weird part of the house, and I'd be like, can you finish making the scooter? And he would not know what I was talking about.
Oh.
Now, our house has been kind of lacking a dad at Christmas for a while now. My dad moved out when I was around 12, and we've never had, like, that dad presence in the house. But my mom's internet boyfriend...
come on.
Yep, I know, has started kind of joining us at holidays.
He's a real-life boyfriend that she met online.
Yes, I
right?
know, and I definitely need to stop calling him mom's internet boyfriend. It's just funnier when I call him that.
That is,
I
yes.
know, but that's like, that's how, I'm on OkCupid, I date on the internet.
No, sure, yeah.
It's how you have to do it these days.
I know, what with apps and all.
Well, with all those apps?
The main way to do it is putting a message on Jordan Jesse Go, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's the main way people...
basically just did that.
Yeah, right? Sure. Yeah, must love Molotov cocktails. And he's doing a real good job of kind of being Christmas dad for us. Like, he wears Hawaiian shirts all the time, which is kind of what you want from mom's internet boyfriend. But also, he's really got the dad joke down. Our tradition is going to a movie. We always go to see a movie kind of on Christmas evening. We were kind of talking about...
You saw a girl with a dragon tattoo.
yes, exactly. And I had to explain to my mom what rape was.
it's good that she didn't know.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
But we were talking about what movies to see, and War Horse came up. And Brad chimed...
Recording glitch here. Brad said... War Horse. Is that like Mr. Ed Gets Drafted?
I wanted a fucking standing ovation this guy. Like, it was amazing. Like, could not be more like on point. Yeah, we all had a good laugh.
As long as he's not daring.
Absolutely. It's great. I mean, it was beautiful. I mean, yeah, we all had a good laugh.
As long as he's not doing it like every 4 minutes.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's good. He's good with it. You know, he spaces
keeps a good,
it out.
Yeah, rhythm.
But here was my one complaint. R.E. Brad's performance at Christmas dinner. I sat next to him, and for the whole dinner, this is what was going on. I'm glad he was enjoying the meal. I don't need to imagine his sex noises. Oh. I don't need to get like a glimpse into his sex noises. The man's dating my mom. I mean,
what was your mom doing?
I mean, she's being a quiet eater. This is kind of a long table, so you know, they weren't like playing footsie underneath or something.
We should explain that, Jordan. Have you seen Batman, the movie Batman?
Batman,
yes,
one.
Several times.
Jordan lives in a Bruce Wayne-style mm-hmm. mansion, yeah. And Jordan's mom is...
kind of a Vicky Vale type.
Yeah, your mom, you have the candelabra in the middle,
yeah,
separating
yeah.
everyone. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it's like... well, I mean, I can just go ahead and have the illusion that they just hold hands and do charity work together, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need that little reminder. I don't know, because I felt like, can I tell him to stop?
But
I can't.
You know what you could have done? You could have made noises like that, but louder.
Yeah. Oh, sure. That would have been a funny comic situation.
See if he caught on.
Yeah.
Fuck these potatoes.
God, these are fucking good. Mom makes a mean fucking roast, doesn't she, asshole?
Why I'm going to put this turkey that? In my mouth.
Yeah.
I don't like it when people make noises, period, when they eat. I don't like when people eat food sloppily
mm-hmm.
or smacking or noises.
Yeah.
I like it to be a peaceful endeavor, not like a wolf eating a...
sure.
whatever.
Pussy.
Wolf eating pussy.
Yeah.
You know how wolves eat pussy?
I do.
I don't want it to be like that.
Yeah, I know how a wolf eats pussy.
Oh, I'm really glad that's not a thing.
Because you're not a lady wolf.
Well, that's... oh, I in my mind, it was like a... what was that movie with Jack Nicholson?
Where wolf he
was,
pussy.
It was Jack Nicholson and Michelle Pfeiffer in Wolf Pussy.
It was just... right, sure.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And I am Aaron Gibson, and I am still in this chair.
Oh, great to see you there, Aaron.
Thank
you look
you.
Fantastic.
So do you.
You're sitting the shit out of that chair.
Thank you.
How am I doing, guys?
Oh, well.
Sorry, Poindexter.
A little homely over here.
Hey, how about a couple of commercial announcements, my friend? First of all, thank you to our sponsor this week, MakePixelArt.com. Aaron, if you've ever wanted to make pixel art, one of the best websites to use is MakePixelArt.com.
I knew that.
Because you listen to Jordan Jesse Go, that's
yes.
probably why. They've also got a great app for the information phone. You can make your, for all your, you know, all of your Mario Paint style picture drawing needs. Anything that you need to draw in the context of 8 to 16 bit graphic type situation, you can do it at MakePixelArt.com.
Will that work on a Razer? A Razer phone?
Yeah, it'll probably work on a Razer
yeah,
phone.
Yeah, most likely. Most things do.
What about a StarTAC?
Yeah, I say put it on the StarTAC.
Flip phone?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, put that on that flip phone.
Zach Morris phone?
Yeah, Zach Morris phone. Okay. Absolutely. Car yeah. phone? Put it on your car phone. Yeah, please. Pager code. Use pager code. 143, MakePixelArt.com. We got a personal ad this week up on the Jumbotron.
Ooh.
As we turn our eyes up to the Jumbotron. Speaking of personal ads, Kevin S. Anyone in the Allentown, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania area? The Allentown, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania area. And I should mention specifically when I say anyone, I'm speaking about female anyones, because
yes.
that is the gender that our friend Kevin S. is interested in. He is a 24-year-old nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Good job. Good job. He's working out of Philadelphia's...
It's a nice, steady job.
It's a good gig. It's a good, well-paid...
And it implies compassion.
Yeah.
There was
empathy.
Yes. There was a study about male nurses and how attractive they are to women.
Oh,
well.
Yeah.
And male Norseman.
And Norseman. Oh, did you know I'm from the Bronx circa 1920?
Anyway, you guys...
It's a noise. You
guys want to go play some stickball?
A real potato.
He's 24 years old. He's a nurse. 5'9", dark brown hair. Kind of look like a Fred Savage, Charlie Day type guy.
Adorable.
Mm, that's an adorable type of guy. He's got two cats.
Hey.
One's called Kittler. And one's called Ezio Auditore. What is that?
It's an Assassin's Creed reference. Sorry, I'm hurting his chances by pointing out.
Anyway, you can email Kevin S. at kastanley1000, kastanley1000@aol.com.
STANLEY?
STANLEY, 1000@aol.com. And, of course, all of these are always up on, in the forum thread for episode sponsors.
So it's a video game, a cat owner, a video game fan, a cat owner, and he's got an AOL account.
It's a cat named after Hitler, but with a kitty start, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's a dark world that this guy lives in. That and the gunshot victims. And, hey, look at this. We got a commercial message up on the Jumbotron from our friends at Topatico.
Hey.
Yeah, we love Topatico.
Absolutely. I've ordered some lovely Brandon Bird art on Topatico.
Topatico.com is actually the home of MaxFunStore.com, which is where you can go to buy all of your red-hot Jordan Jesse Go merchandise. Sound of Young America merchandise, Bullseye merchandise coming soon, My Brother and Me merchandise. I know you're fond of that Peepums t-shirt.
It's a great Peepums shirt.
Peepums Nasty Gum. Peepums Nasty Gum is the chewing gum that your grandparents give you, known for being crumbly and flavorless.
Oh, it tastes like a napkin after 4 seconds?
You got it.
That's the gum.
Yeah. Anyway, they also do merchandise for a lot of friends of Jordan Jesse Go. Our friend David Malky from the great webcomic Wonder Mark, as you mentioned. Brandon Bird from BrandonBird.com.
You know, Chris Hastings from Dr. McNinja.
Oh, the great Chris
lovely,
Hastings.
Products in there.
He's often kindly mentioned Jordan Jesse Go in his comics. Lots of great people. Jonathan Colton also has merchandise up there at Topatico.com, and they have special deals. If you buy multiple t-shirts, you get a cool discount. And anyway, it's really great. They run a great service. They're great people. That's why we have them selling our merchandise. So our thanks to them for sponsoring this week's Jordan Jesse Go. If you want to sponsor an episode of Jordan Jesse Go, email Teresa at MaximumFun.org. If you want to get up on the Jumbotron, share a message with our audience. It's just $100 for a personal message, $200 for a commercial message. Just go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And I'm Aaron Gibson, and I'm standing up.
No,
wait,
throwing us a curveball this time.
Hold on.
How do you think this will affect your performance?
Uh-huh. It's going to be way more energetic.
Wow, yeah.
I'm going to be interrupting, talking over you guys.
What are you, like a morning radio DJ now?
I can't even muster it. I was gonna, that was the beginning of me trying to do a bit, and I couldn't even do it.
Boy, the standing up thing isn't working out for you. No. You probably just have a seat, Aaron. You were doing great before. You don't need to change anything.
I couldn't think of a...
Don't change a thing.
A fun DJ name.
One time I went into the office of an advertising company. It was a very small boutique advertising company. 5 or 6 people worked there. And the boss of it was working in the middle at a stand-up desk, while everyone else worked around him at normal desks.
I've seen people do that.
It was weird. Not so much the working at a stand-up desk. I mean, that's weird. I mean, it's unusual, but I'm fine with that. But it was made me really uncomfortable that they were all in the same room and that the boss was at a stand-up desk and everyone else was at a normal desk.
If I ever work in an office again, I want a couch. No desk, couch, laptop.
Mm. It's sort of like, what if he was working like in moon boots? Like, what if he was hanging up to gravity boots? What if he was hanging upside down from... Or in moon boots. That's the kind where you bounce up and down, right?
Is it pretentious to you to have a standing desk?
It's like aggressively advertising agency. You know what I mean? Like, you might as well take your meetings in a ball pit.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, we got some telephone calls. When something momentous happens to our callers, our listeners, we ask that they give us a call at 206-984-4FUN for momentous occasions. They have done so, and we have listened.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, possible guest. This is Will from Indiana calling in with a momentous occasion. I was just at the grocery store, and a woman walked by me wearing the best T-shirt ever. So the picture is like a standard, you know, werewolf guy ripping his shirt open because he's turning into a werewolf. The text in big, like, Indiana Jones-looking letters says, "Wolfman's got nards." Thanks.
What? Remember the word nards? I'm glad to know they're putting it on shirts still.
I saw a T-shirt today that I was just wondering if this shirt was racist or not. I was at a bar.
It said Willennium.
Yes, Willennium.
And it was a picture of me and Jordan.
Yeah. So I was at this bar. It's called the SF Saloon, and it's the kind of go-to bar if you want to watch like a San Francisco sporting event, like a Giants game or a Niners game. This guy was wearing a shirt. It looked like it had been homemade. Like, you could see the part where it had been ironed on. And it said, "This is your brain." And it had a picture of the San Francisco 49ers logo. And then it says, "This is your brain on drugs." And it had the Oakland Raiders logo. Is that racist?
No.
Why was he doing it? What is that? Desi, can you shed some light on it as someone who knows about this kind of thing?
They're known for their rough and tumble ways.
their drug use.
Oh, man. You know, I mean, I'm from San Francisco, so I'm a 49ers fan. I mean, there is definitely an element to the rivalry. And there's not, like, really a strong rivalry between the Niners and the Raiders. There is a strong rivalry from Raiders fans hate Niners fans, and Niners fans don't care too much about the Raiders. Mm-hmm.
Except for this guy who made his own iron-on.
Yeah, I mean, I think that generally you would find that Raiders fans think of themselves as a wild, rough and tumble blue collar bunch, and think of 49ers fans as a white wine sipping bunch of over moneyed whatever.
Classism, not racism.
Okay, so it was just simply classist.
But I mean, okay. There's some race mixed up in there.
Sure.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
He was also wearing a fishing hat. Did I say that?
Oh no.
He was.
That makes a big difference.
Yeah. More or less racist because of the fishing hat.
Did he have on pants?
Shorts.
Okay. Was the fishing hat white and pointy?
It was, actually, yeah.
Then more racist.
And his fishing pole was like a big pole, and then it had another
sort
pole going across it, and it was on fire?
Yeah.
Yeah, like a fisherman.
Yeah. Well, this is
a Ku Klux fisherman.
Gotcha.
Hi, Jordan, Jesse, and guest. This is Levi from Chicago. I'm calling with a momentous occasion that was prompted by another momentous occasion that I heard on the program. I was out running while listening to Jordan, Jesse, Go, which is something that I recommend to all Jordan, Jesse, Go listeners, although you end up laughing while you run, which is ridiculous.
It does. And the advantage is it does give you something to run from.
Yes.
You had a momentous occasion from someone who saw the license plate on a car that was one dick. Moments earlier, I had seen a shiny big pickup truck with the license plate NADS. That's all. It felt momentous. Thanks for doing the show.
Cool.
The thing that I admire about the person who gets a vulgar custom license plate is this. It's not the vulgarity. I don't really care. I don't admire vulgarity. And it's almost always stupid. It's not actually funny.
Sure.
But what I like about it is that, at least in California, I don't know what it's like in other states, but in California, what you have to do is you pay your fee, your $250 or whatever it is. I know this because I did have custom license plates on my El Camino. You pay your fee, and then you fill out a form. And the form has three things that you request. So you can look up what's taken online or in this huge book that they have at the DMV. But it has three things that you request. And if the thing that you ask for is deemed vulgar or whatever, they will not give it to you.
and they will give you the second thing on your list. If the second thing, and so on. And if all of the things that you ask are not on your list, that you will are not are too vulgar, they'll just keep your money and give you a regular license plate.
Wow.
So basically,
it's kind of a crapshoot.
So basically, all of
these
people...
And they probably won't let you put crapshoot on there.
Right. So, and if you want to get it by, there's a little explanation thing. If you want to get it by, you have to come up with a reason. You have to say that, you know, you had an Uncle Mads who died, and this is a tribute to him, right?
You know, I think I've said this on the podcast before, but a friend of mine's brother growing up had Stank Ho. And he said it was a tribute to his college professor, Stanko.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
So
so you can, like, appeal it.
But here's the thing. If you have, you can explain it. On the form, there is a little thing where they ask what the reason is.
Sure.
But the thing
is,
if it's
just pussy, you just put, I love pussy.
And who doesn't? Question mark?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, right, guys? Mm-hmm. High five.
So here's... But here's the question.
This is us high-fiving. It's just me clapping.
Here's
no,
the
you
question,
write all
though.
That on the form.
Yeah. High five, guys. Not I mean.
The people who have the vulgar
ladies
one.
Ladies know what I'm talking
the
about.
The people who have the vulgar one, they definitely, I mean, if you have three vulgar options with three non-vulgar explanations, then the person knows this isn't actually a tribute to your three favorite college professors.
Yeah.
You know,
Nads, Hardon, and Grunkle.
Queef, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even if you really did, even if your third option was a real tribute to a real Professor Queef.
Professor Queef.
You're like, it just seems like a lot of lies to tell the government in one on one document.
On one form.
And you're like, well, if Buttman and Balzer don't get through, yeah, at least I have this honest one. My tribute to
the first two are vulgar jokes because I'm childish. But if those don't go through, I would like, I would like Professor Boner.
So really, what you have to do is you have to come up with a vulgar one, and then you're really riding your $250 that will slip through. You're betting $250 that some lady at the DMV is going to be bamboozled by whatever you come up with to put on that one line on that form.
And if she's old enough, she might.
Who knows?
I don't know.
It's just what she knows about slang.
You know what I say? Fly away, little dreamer.
Hmm.
Is that something that I can say?
Yes, every day. Yeah, you should say it every day.
Okay, excellent.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, and possible guest. Got a momentous occasion. My name's Fletch. I'm from Indianapolis, currently in Fort Lauderdale. And the wife and I just tried a Satsuma. All I gotta say is, if you can't get them, Clementine's good enough. Thanks.
What is this? This is not the call that Colin told me it was gonna be. This is somebody insulting Satsumas. Number one, you probably got a lousy Satsuma because you live in Clementine country.
Mm, wow.
Number two, a Clementine.
Now who's classist?
A Clementine is a B-minus Satsuma. Look, Clementine's about as good as it gets for other non-Satsuma citrus fruits. But the reality is that you really got to hope that you're hitting a home run with your Clementine. And even then, you're going to have a bear of a time peeling that thing. You're going to get a bunch of seeds in your mouth.
I'm afraid of citrus.
Yeah?
So, yeah.
Nothing? No grapefruit?
It just burns in my... I always get it into my eye.
So yeah. Okay.
I only drink it in juice form.
That call was supposed to be... That call was supposed to be woman sees fixie guy... He's got a bird on his shoulder.
Makes total sense out of context.
But instead, it was slanderous.
Jesus Christ, yeah. Walczak. If our intern, Colin Walczak, is going to get fired over this. Oh, you know what? I'm going to dock his pay 50%. 75%
wow.
Pay dock.
Oof.
For Colin Walczak this pay period.
Which is, pay him yearly?
I pay him every 6 weeks.
He gets his pay.
Such as it is.
Yeah.
Every 6 weeks, I issue his pay.
The way that you're over-talking it makes me think he doesn't receive any money.
It's a great summary, Aaron. I appreciate it. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. Love you. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And I am Aaron Gibson, and I am sitting down again.
Good. Back to basics, huh?
I don't know.
Exactly.
Back in that chair.
What am I playing? This new Black Sabbath album that's going to come out. Back to basics.
What am I playing? That gopher?
Classic.
What am I playing? That gopher smashing game? What is it? A game of hot potato chairs?
Thank you. This is psychological warfare what I'm doing.
Game of hot potato chairs.
What is this? One of those hot potato chair games?
Yeah.
Jeebus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I want to thank... I've gotten so many lovely Downton Abbey-related emails lately. The Satsuma emails, as Satsuma season has started to come to a close, have started to recede. But as season two of Downton Abbey comes to PBS, the Downton Abbey emails have started to flood in. And I want to thank everyone who's thanked me for... Yes, I will take credit for popularizing Downton Abbey in the United States. Yes, I did start talking about it during the second week that it aired here in the United States. Yes, I've been talking about it ever since. Yes, it is completely my doing.
Yes, you've established your credibility.
And I will say to everyone out there who's gotten so much from Downton Abbey, you're welcome.
It's changed my life.
I don't understand why people aren't thanking me for recommending eating pussy.
Wolf style.
Wolf style, right? I mean...
I think this is your time going forward.
Yeah.
It will be attributed to you.
That was me. As much as Jesse has talked up Downton Abbey...
Is eating...
And he was right. It's a great show.
I love it.
He was absolutely correct about that. As good a show as Downton Abbey is, that's how good a sex act eating pussy wolf style
is. Eating pussy wolf style something that you can order at the In-N-Out Burger?
Oh, please someone do it.
Yeah.
I'll have a hamburger wolf pussy eating style. Is that how you'd order it?
Yeah.
Wolf pussy eat. No, that's not right. There's got to be a cleaner way to do it.
I want to mention,
it's
though.
It's just a paper bag filled with cheese. Melted cheese.
And you have to eat it with your mouth.
You have to eat it with your hands behind your back in the woods.
Well, one hand on the top and then eat the rest up. I don't want to eat it.
On the subject.
To stimulate the wolf clitoris. I know.
On the subject of Downton Abbey, I just want to mention, I think I mentioned this last week on the show, but The Sound of Young America, after 10 years, is coming to an end, and it is being replaced with a new show called Bullseye with Jesse Thorne, which will be in many ways very similar. It's really, in some ways, it's a new name for The Sound of Young America. In some ways, it's a new show. I'm really, really proud of it. We've been working our butts off, and we... Really, last week we spent all of the week really focused working on it with Nick White flew in from Chicago, our editor, and our friend Roman Mars, who makes the brilliant show 99% Invisible, which was just on Radiolab last week, came in and sort of helped us. And we really crafted a show that I'm really, really proud of. I think it's sort of like, I don't know, it's like the next generation of The Sound of Young America.
Is it to The Sound of Young America as Saved by the Bell, The New Class was to Saved by the Bell?
Yeah, Screech is still going to be around.
Good, good. He's like the principal or something, right?
Yeah. Each iteration of The Sound of Young America will have an awkward interview where Jordan and I talk to Screech, and Screech tells street jokes about disabled people. Which is a real thing that happened to me and Jordan when we were in college.
You could legitimately get him on the show.
We did legitimately get him on the show.
He was
we
on our
college
radio show, yeah. And he talked about his math rock band and then just told...
He copped an attitude about talking about his math rock band.
Yeah.
We tried to talk about his rock band and he was a dick about it. And we're like, why would you be a dick about that? That should be something you would want to talk about.
I think he just wanted us to set him up, set him up for his jokes.
His street jokes. Let's be clear. His stand-up comedy act, which was telling joke book jokes.
Oh, boy.
Off-color joke book jokes.
No.
About disabled people.
Well, he's an angry person, obviously.
Anyway, the first episode of Bullseye is up this week. And among its guests, we have the brilliant Australian comedian/actor/writer Chris Lilly. Who has a great new show called Angry Boys that's on HBO starting this week. But we also have three of the cast members of one television program known as Downton Abbey. Yes, that's right. I will be joined by the Earl of Grantham, his second cousin Matthew, and Anna, the head housemaid.
I'm real fucking jealous.
Oh, yeah. and I talked to them about outfits, and I talked to them about wanting to make out with Mr. Bates, and I talked to them about all of the important Downton Abbey stuff that you've been waiting to hear me talk about with cast members of the television program Downton Abbey. Anyway, that's on Bullseye this week. And if
are the puddings on the show real puddings? Or are these some sort of elaborate wax prop pudding?
I will also mention that we are also putting out, in sort of in memoriam for the Sound of Young America, a torrent of every Sound of Young America episode that exists in digital form. It is a 15-gigabyte torrent of 11 years of the Sound of Young America. I can't believe it, but literally 11 years of the Sound of Young America, my entire life's work in one torrent. There's some videos in there. There's the pilot for the television show of the Sound of Young America is in there, possibly illegally. Not really sure who owns that. This thing is a monster, and it'll be up on MaximumFun.org. You can find it there if you're interested in that, as well. But I just want to invite people who are Jordan Jesse Go fans who have not checked out The Sound of Young America. We have a new dawn in Sound of Young America history. It's called Bullseye with Jesse Thorne. We're really proud of it. It's about all the good stuff in popular culture, in-depth interviews and culture picks from the AV Club. Just really great stuff. Also, Dan Deacon talking about the song that changed his life, which is a song by this guy called Conlon Nancarrow, who was a composer who composed exclusively for mechanical player pianos. Did not believe in human beings, did not like their physical limitations, decided to compose exclusively for player pianos. So, all Bullseye, plus a torrent of every Sound of Young America ever, all at MaximumFun.org. So please, Jordan Jesse Go fans, check it out. I'm so proud of the work that we've been doing, and I think that you will like it. So give it a listen, please. Special shows at SF Sketchfest.
Mm-hmm.
January 20th at SF Sketchfest, an evening of my expertise with Mr. John Hodgman at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco. January 21st at Cobb's Comedy Club, an afternoon with Eagle Heart, featuring, among other people, the great Chris Elliott and our friend Maria Thayer. You can find more information about those shows and ticket links and so on and so forth at MaximumFun.org. Just look at live shows in the right-hand bar. Want to pick a tweet of the week with me, Jordan?
Sure. Well, I can't really see it. Do you want to pick one, and me and Aaron will just chit-chat while you look through those? If you need help narrowing it down, I can help.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a couple here.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Here's something from Heidi. She wrote, just heard, quote, "I'd like to hear what Jesse Thorne has to say about Burlington Coat Factory," unquote. I am interested to know where she heard that.
I don't know. I mean, probably near a Burlington Coat Factory.
Now that would make me want to hang out outside of Burlington Coat Factory now to hear that people are talking about me there.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you enjoy coats? Because
I love bargains.
Well, if you love coats and bargains, it's probably your place.
Yeah, it's probably the place to go.
Mm.
I feel like this is a follow-up question. I feel like you have to go experience a Burlington Coat Factory before you can make an educated, statement about what...
Touch the coats.
Yeah.
Try the coats on.
At what happened, hashtagged JJGo, just a request for tickets to the sold-out Wet Hot American Summer Show at SF Sketchfest.
Okay.
She just figured...
That's probably strategic, though. I think she
figured whoever's searching for that,
yeah,
what
JJ
people are
Go
talking
probably
about...
probably has tickets, too.
Yeah.
That's just a good move.
I actually kind
of
like that.
Maybe
one.
Maybe a misuse of the hashtag, but a means to an end, certainly.
Might be abuse.
Yeah.
Might be abuse. I like Chris. I like Chris at Pesky C, mm-hmm. Who complained that JJ Go and How Was Your Week don't get any love on the AV Club's Podmas lists anymore.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, mm-hmm. though. So occasionally.
It's been a long time since we've been on that Podmas.
Yeah, yeah.
They stopped covering us. That's too bad. We were podcast of the week on that Splitsider though this past week.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much to those Splitsiders.
Yeah. The downside of being one of two places that reviews podcasts is we can tell when you're mentioning us or not. So we can take it personally every time.
Yeah, exactly. Several nice tweets about you see anything here you want to fuck with, compliments of Rick Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Happy to see that being discussed on the show. You know what though? I'm going to give it to a classic. I'm going to give it to @HeidiHeidiHeidi Valine, who picked up on a common theme over the past couple of weeks, which is listen to two episodes of JJ Go on our drive home for Christmas with my uninitiated husband. He laughed a lot. I think I converted him.
No. Hey,
so
yeah.
Lots of folks tweeting about listening to 12,000 episodes on their holiday drives. It's always nice to hear, although it concerns me that you got that backlog. Let's stay up to date, people. Let's stay up to date.
Well, we're doing topical stuff here.
Yeah, but I also like...
Kim Jong-il.
I also...
Very topical.
The Hollywood fire, the West Hollywood fire bug. I mean, that's going to be old news soon.
I also like people... I also like people converting people. So, Heidi, email intern@MaximumFun.org. We'll get you a free t-shirt.
And also, like, just feel free to hashtag JJGo if you convert someone to Christianity.
Yeah, well, just any kind of conversion. Please, hashtag JJGo. If you convert lead into gold.
Yeah.
If you successfully alchemize lead.
What about a gay person into a straight person?
Yeah.
Hashtag
yeah.
it.
Yeah, JJGo.
I'm really interested
if you
to
can
hear
use
about
our
that.
Show in some way to, like, help that. If, like, maybe if you're having a gay thought and you put on our show.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe yeah. if that, I don't know if that would like cancel out a gay thought somehow.
I think it would. I think if someone was like, God, I could really fuck a dude right now, they'd be like, fuck a dude, huh? Here's some dudes. And then be like, oh, jeez. Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
I guess I don't want to be gay anymore.
Yeah.
If all men are like this, I suspect I'm gay, but I've never met another man.
Ew. Hey.
Here are what men are likes.
I don't want to get involved in these fellas. Hey, Jordan, do you think it would help my standing with some of our geekier listeners if I mentioned that I've played Skyrim for 9 hours this weekend?
Couldn't hurt.
I've played Skyrim for 9 hours this weekend. My brother-in-law got it for Christmas, and I played it for like 3 hours at his house.
Yeah.
And I thought I should buy it, but I shouldn't have, because then I played it for 9 hours this weekend. Jesus Christ. I can't stop playing this fucking stupid video game. Just going for...
Yeah.
It sounds like a weird sexual thing that you do in space.
This is what happens.
Skyrim.
Yeah.
Right.
This is what it is.
It's a sex act when you're watching the movie Space Jam.
you're a magic cat man in an ancient world who goes on a lot of long walks. That's what happens in Skyrim. Anyway. 206-984-4FUN, our telephone number. JJGo@MaximumFun, our email address. Our special thanks this week to the great Aaron Gibson.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
Aaron, you've got a smash hit podcast, don't you?
Uh-huh, throwingshade.com. It's a Tumblr.
Ooh.
Tumblr and a podcast?
Uh-huh.
How modern of you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then if you want to see me live, I do a lot of stuff at UCB. I have a show on the 20th and then February 13th.
This is the UCB Los Angeles.
Uh-huh, Los Angeles.
Podcasts are an international medium.
Yes. You would have to fly here or be already located in the city to do the other things I do.
Yeah.
To come see them. Yeah.
Yeah. I will also mention on the theme of Tumblr that I've been tumblogging at jessethorn.tumblr.com, Jordan Tumblog,
sure.
jordanmorris.tumblr.com. We are also revamping our social media strategy, so I hope that you will like Jesse Thorn on Tumblr. I hope that you will like Bullseye with Jesse Thorn. I hope that you will like Jordan Jesse Go.
On Facebook. Okay.
On Tumblr?
You said Tumblr.
You can like
That's
a
okay.
Tumblr page.
You can star a particular Tumblr post.
Yes.
Heart point. Sorry.
Can you please
LinkedIn
the following Friendsters?
Yes. on the subject of tiny hearts, again, I'll make this brief. Basically, all the Twitter ads I've gotten in the past week have been about the fact that they've established a definitive Zelda timeline. Thank you. I know. Thank you. If you ever see me in person, I'm glad to talk about it with you. I know.
And hey, while we're asking for shit, can you review our show on iTunes?
Yes.
It makes a big difference. Review our show on iTunes. Okay, we're done asking for shit. Thank you so much for listening to our program. Thank you to Aaron Gibson from Throwin' Shade.
Just so you know, this episode came between the Oracle of Seasons and the Oracle of Ages in the timeline.
Our theme music, Love You by the Free Design, courtesy of the Free Design and Light in the Attic Records. We'll talk to you next time on Jordan Jesse Go.